Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And today is today's Wednesday, June 26, 2019. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter more about alcoholism. We're on the very first paragraph on page 36 that begins with, "Yes, he got drunk again," commenting on just that one paragraph. Today's readers are Sarit L., Mary H., Penny L.C., Kathy Jo P., and Pia. And we have Janice P.M. as our newcomer greeter and Reggie O. with some announcements at the end of the meeting. Thank you so much. The reference number for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 13083. And the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for June 25th is 13076. 13076. And again, the number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for June 26th is 13083. POA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's SIP tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sarit L. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Sarit L., grateful to be doing service. Here are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you very much, Sarit L. And I will now ask Mary H. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Mary H., recovered in Wisconsin, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I'll pass. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you very much, Mary H., for doing service today. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book and more about alcoholism. We're on page 36, and we're commenting, reading and commenting the first paragraph only, and I will ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. Yet he got drunk again. We asked him to tell us exactly how it happened. This is his story. Quote, I came to work on Tuesday morning. I remember feeling irritated that I had to be a salesman for a concern I once owned. I had a few words with the boss, but nothing serious. Then I decided to drive into the country and see one of my prospects for a car. On the way, I felt hungry, so I stopped at a roadside place where they have a bar. I had no intention of drinking. I just thought I would get a sandwich. I also had the notion that I might find a customer for a car at this place, which was familiar, and I had been going to it for years. I'd eaten there many times during the months I was sober. I sat down at a table and ordered a sandwich and a glass of milk. Still, no thought of drinking. I ordered another sandwich and decided to have another glass of milk. End of the reading. And looking on this, the words of this paragraph, the testament of this this addict, I think to myself, what was going on? This gentleman, Jim, definitely is having a buildup of emotion. He's admitted that he was irritated and that he'd had some words with the boss, which right there, you know, that tells me there's some spiritual imbalance, because when I'm in balance emotionally, I am able to interact with others without having to go to that place of, quote, having words. So asking myself, am I spiritually fit you know, looking at that irritation, looking at that pride, what's going on, being really honest about it. Because it's so easy for my mind to take me to unbalanced thinking, to start to see things in a skewed way, because it's what my ego wants me to see. And so then I've got to realize, oh boy, I'm looking for some excuse here, aren't I? You know, some excuse to go back to that method that I know of that I think will provide that ease and comfort to escape those emotions. And of course, for me, it would have been having, instead of ordering that drink perhaps coming in the next paragraph, it would have been ordering that dessert. Never mind the second sandwich. But anyway, looking for an excuse with added food to hang out in a risky environment. That would be like me, you know, going to a place where I know they've got all these delicious desserts, and I'm going there to have a salad. And who am I kidding? I'm there to, you know, think about the desserts. And that risky environment can lead me to giving in to the justification of just that first compulsive bite. But what do I do instead in recovery? I pause when I'm feeling agitated. I pray. I ask for direction. God, what would you have me be? And in that moment, I'm able to be redirected. But there were many a time when that didn't happen. But that's the difference of working this program, being in recovery one day at a time, and being able to do life differently today, thanks to my higher power's guidance. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Penny Elsie. Who would like to comment on the share class today?
Laura W.
Janice PM.
Okay. Hannah L.
Irene B.
Okay. And Beatrice O.
So I'll tell you who I heard, and we have room for a couple more because I heard many names all at once. I got Laura W., Janice PM, Beatrice O., and Irene V. Who else wanted to share?
Kara L.
And one more I heard?
Hannah L.
Okay, great. Okay, so sorry if I missed you on this last round, but we'll hope to pick you up next round. We have Laura W., Janice P.M., Beatrice O., Irene D., Kara L., and Hannah L. Please go ahead, Laura.
Thanks.
W.
Good morning. It's Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. This is such a powerful paragraph because being recovered now, I can see that when I feel irritated, I immediately have to do a 10th step. And Jim feels irritated. Why? Because he was once an owner of this company. Now he has to work for it. And he has a few words with the boss, but you know, he brushes it off and says nothing serious. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I had a few words with my boss, I mean, it's serious. It's, you know, it would upset me. And this whole paragraph reminds me that all action is born in thought. He decided to drive to the country. He minimizes, you know, first he minimizes the words with the boss, and he feels hungry, so he stops at a roadside place where they have a bar. But he had been going there for years, so he knows they have a bar. And in the paragraph prior, it tells us that he had failed to enlarge his spiritual life. You know, today, thank you, God, I can go anywhere and stay connected to my higher power and not pick up. I can bring my food to restaurants that don't have abstinent food. I can go to parties and, you know, have no problem because it's a daily work. It's a daily process that I have to stay connected to my higher power. I have to live in 10, 11, and 12. I have to connect with God through pages 86 through 88 every morning. And when I do that, I feel safe and protected. But Jim does not feel safe and protected because he's failing to enlarge his spiritual life. So he's setting himself up for disaster from the beginning. You know, it's a familiar place. If I'm feeling shaky, I'm not going to go sit at a donut shop and get coffee because, you know, it could trigger me. And it's just the insanity that's over and over and over. I mean, it's the mental obsession that drives us to the food, that drives me to the food, that drives me to the anorexic behaviors. And, you know, we'll see that he orders a couple of sandwiches and he sits there and he's waiting. And, you know, there's a reason why he's sitting there and he's waiting, because the slips and the relapses always begins with a thought. So I'm grateful for this reminder, and I'm grateful, you know, I have in my notes, he's selling a car at a bar, ? Like, it's all a lot of this is premeditated, just in my opinion. But, you know, and my insanity is not that I'm allergic to certain substances. My insanity is that my mind tells me that it's okay, and that's what we're seeing here. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Lord W. Janice P.M., you're up next.
Yes, thank you, Elaine and everyone. My name is Janice P. I'm from Massachusetts, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm going to remind myself of the previous paragraph telling me how I used to be when I just embarked on steps 1, 2, and 3, because that's how I acted. That's how I thought. I thought, well, geez, I have the knowledge now. I go to, you know, a Vision for You or whatever group you go to. And, you know, I know about the allergy, and I know about that I, you know, I'm powerless, and I know, and I know, and I know, and I know. However, he did not embark yet on steps 4 through 12. So he was not in spiritual condition. He wasn't spiritually fit, because the mental obsession was still there. And my experience is, until I can find out the relationship with myself, you know, all those character defects of justifying and finagling and et cetera, I still don't have the power to choose. Sure, I used to think, gee, when I was young, too, with this disease, instead of going back in the back way to the bakery that we owned, I'll go up the front stairs and I'll avoid the bakery. But then what happened? I wasn't in fit spiritual condition. Then I would go in the front and get something to eat in the bakery, because I had no power to choose, because I lacked the power. So all these, that's why it says yes. Yes, he got drunk, which means to me, yes, I had a relapse. Yet I ate some more. I could stop many times, but I couldn't stay stopped because of the thinking, because of the obsession towards that substance. And the only way that I found out is for a power to remove that obsession. And that power came to me when I did beyond steps 1, 2, and 3. He didn't go on. Even if he knew the consequences, he'd end up in an asylum. He knew that his family would be. It didn't enter my mind. It didn't enter my mind because my mental obsession won out every time. So this could be how I thought when I was not recovered. I needed to change, but I couldn't change. I needed that power. You know, I would rationalize. Oh, I've eaten there many a times and I was all right. Well, this time, you know, Russian roulette, if I'm not in fit spiritual condition, first of all, I shouldn't even be there. I mean, you know, I know sponsees, including myself, that, you know, I'm going on a cruise. Oh, but Janice, you tell me to, you know, pray to God, but they
That's
haven't
a reminder.
Completed the steps. Sure. They haven't done the steps. They did 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, like we hear on this line. So the thinking is the problem. You can be abstinent but not recovered. But you cannot be recovered and not be abstinent. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jim's TM. Beatrice O, you're up next, followed by Irene B. Please go ahead, Beatrice.
Good morning. This is Beatrice from recovered from the Bay Area. So my view on this paragraph is, well, number one, he never took step one. He knew about alcoholism. He knew about, like I've known about compulsive overeating. And it took me a while to enlarge my spiritual life or to even really, really believe. And so he shows up on Tuesday and he felt irritated. So, you know, I've done that very same thing where I've binged all weekend and rented movies and closed the curtains and felt like I gained 10 pounds over the weekend, and then got some laxatives and then decided to shit my brains out on Sunday. Then I was too sick to go to work on Monday, so I stayed home trying to recover and empty out my system and drink a lot of water. So I show up on Tuesday for work. I'm kind of irritated. And then I have a coworker decides she wants to go to Hobie's for lunch. And that's a restaurant here in the Bay Area. They're known for their wonderful coffee cakes. And so she says, "Hey, B, you want to go to lunch?" And yeah, okay, let's go. Even though I brought my abstinent lunch and cried over the phone with my sponsor, you know, I decided, oh, well, screw it. I'll just go to lunch. And so I go there. I have an abstinent lunch. And they said, "Hey, do you want to?" I said, "I'll just take the coffee cake home for my husband." And then I go up to the counter, and it's Tuesday. They have buy one huge coffee cake and get one free. So I said, "Well, you know, I'll just take these to the office." And there you go. I'm on a run again. And I didn't have any thoughts of eating again. I mean, I just puked my brains over the puked over the weekend. I'm trying to get sober. I wanted to get abstinent. I had no intention of eating when I went to lunch with my coworker. And during lunch, all I talked about is trying to control my food and how fat I was getting. So I've done the very exact same thing. And I don't want to jump ahead, but, you know, that sudden thought, and the vague, so it's like, I don't know what it is when you cross the line and you're a real food addict. It's like you can't even, and I'll finish up, you can't even remember the pain you were in a few days ago when you're picking up. It's that mental twist, that it's that cunning. And with that, I'll pass. I'm a grateful, recovered food addict. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Irene B., you're up next, followed by Kara L.
Good morning. Thank you, Elaine, so much for your wonderful service in making these meetings possible. And thank you to everybody for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. I love this paragraph because it really describes the way that I was in my bulimia. I was so completely and utterly out of touch with myself. And I learned to ignore my feelings because if there were any feelings, the automatic response and the always response, no matter what, was I was going to be binging and purging anytime I did not have a structured time period. That's what I did for years and years and years. I was a prisoner. So I was so out of touch. Spiritual life, forget it. Knowing that I'm an employee of a company I used to own, that's humiliating. and that you're a little annoyed about that, but you just brush it off. It's no big deal. And then you get hungry, so you go to a place that he's been there before many times. So he's been there while he was engaged in drinking. So, yeah, he chose the wrong place to go satisfy his hunger. And, you know, for me, I mean, he didn't have any intention from what we read. He didn't have any intention to drink. It just occurred to him. It just, he had a brilliant idea all of a sudden. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, no big deal. And then he does that. So what I get from this is, to me, what it means to me and now where I am in my recovery, I need to stay in touch and in tune with how I'm feeling. And I don't have the luxury of feeling a little twinging my stomach or a little punching my stomach and ignoring it the way I have all of my life. If I have a feel of punching my stomach a little bit, I need to stay in the moment and question that. Okay, what's that about? So I can process it consciously and not unconsciously. Because if I am aware of what I'm feeling, generally there's a distorted, twisted thought in there. And I need to change that thinking. And I need to pause and ask my God, it's like, God, help me with this. Help me figure this out. Help me get through this. So to me, what this passage means is don't be on automatic. Don't be on self-reliance. Pause and turn purposely to God reliance. Because the moment I reach out to God, that's the moment when I begin to gain some sanity instead of the insanity that lives in my mind. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Irene B. Kara L., you'll be up next, followed by Hannah H., and we'll take a new lineup after Hannah H. on the first paragraph on page 36. Please go ahead, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L. from Recovered Compulsive Overeater from Long Beach, California. And thank you so much for everybody that's doing service on the meeting this morning and helping us come together in recovery. I've read this paragraph many times, of course, and I just this morning identified with that, oh, I'm a little upset, and oh, it's not a big deal. I'll power through. Because my whole entire life, I was taught that I had to stand up and take care of myself and make the decisions. And you know, if something was wrong, then I had to fix it. And that's what I knew, and that's what I believed. And being recovered today, what I'm seeing is that, no, it's not up to me. It's up to my higher power. It's up to God. And my job, the only thing that I can do is keep clearing my path so that I can take my higher power's direction much clearer. And that's why whenever I pray and ask God, you know, please direct my attention to what you would have me be or do, that's what it is. It's keep clearing your path so you can hear me, so that you can get that intuition, that inspiring thought, that decision. And today I'm so grateful because I'm in a situation right now that, you know, I'm not at home. I'm working somewhere else right now. And I didn't know my place. And it goes back to that old fear of, like, where am I going to fit in? How am I going to do it? And I start getting geared up that it's my way. You know, I have to fix it. And thankfully, I was able to say, well, wait a minute here, let's try it different. Let's stop and pray. Let's write out 10 steps on how we're feeling. Let's share them with somebody else. Let's ask my higher power for direction in all things. What should I wear today, God? Okay? you know, what, I don't know where to be today, God. What, how do I be a service today? Oh, okay. Work with the kids. Focus on that. Okay. That's what I'll do. And the first day I was here, you know, I just stopped and asked all day, God, what should I eat? God, where do I go now? How can I be of service here and where I am now? And the answers came, and I just went with it. And I woke up a Tuesday morning so filled with gratitude because it was so different from it had been in the past. And I was just so grateful that it's not up to me anymore. It's up to my higher power. And there's such an ease and a peace and a comfort when I relax into that, when I lean into God.
That's
and I
100.
Lean into that. It I can't tell you the feeling of waking up the next day. With that, I'll pass. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, Kara L. All right, Hannah L., you're up next, and then we'll take another line up on page 36, the first paragraph, Yet He Got Drunk Again. Please go ahead, Hannah.
Hi, this is Hannah L., compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. So nice to be on the line this morning. Thank you, everyone, for your shares. And so we are reminded that he got drunk again, and that was because of not enlarging his spiritual life. And this disease is composed of three parts, the threefold thing. So we have the mental obsession, so that's basically, you know, my insane thinking, the physical allergy, you know, my irregular reaction to food, and then the spiritual malady, that's the thing that I try to, you know, think that the food will fill, that the food will complete me. So it's basically my thinking that is very messed up. You know, I couldn't stay stopped, and, you know, that's where I needed a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity, because I'm telling you, there was so much insanity in my life and going on in my head. And this disease is so cunning and baffling, and we could even see that today through the story with Jim and how he goes to a bar and yet has no intention of drinking. I would do the exact same thing with food, honestly. My mind would totally get me to believe that. That's just how my disease is. You know, how could I get the next fix? You know, like, my mind just rationalizes and justifies things, and I just can't let myself believe that. And, you know, even with irritation, he talks about, you know, just brushing it off, not making a big deal out of it. And for me, I'm the exact same thing. It's the little things that get me, the little things. And that's why I need to do 10 steps in order to, you know, stay continually unblocked throughout the day and just be able to live my life and not be irritated and disgruntled and just totally, you know, unhappy. And food in my case, but alcohol in Jim's case, is not the problem. It's the symptom of the problem. It's the spiritual malady, the hole that I'm trying to fill. And through many years of compulsive overeating to the point of no end, I have realized that my disease is a mad dog, and that means I have to work my program like a mad dog. I only have 24 hours today. That's all I have. So that's the work that I do today is what is going to keep me recovered today. So that's basically all I have, and I'm just grateful, you know, to be in this program and to have people around that really understand what I'm going through and just to share in the common problem and work through it together. So thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Hannah L. So who would like to comment on this first paragraph on page 36?
Max C.
Sherry K. B.
Patty
G. I'm Ruth G.
Jordan L.
S.
Okay, so far I've heard Max C, Sherry KB, and Ruth G. Who else?
Wendy.
I'm sorry.
Jordan L.
Jordan
Jean
L.
J.
And
Devora S.
Okay, great. Devora S.
Wendy.
All right. I think that's all we have time for, Wendy, I'm afraid. So I have Mag C, Sherry K B, Ruth G, Jordan L, Jean J, and Devora S. And that's going to be a little tight, so if you want to be mindful of that as you share, then that would be great. So Mag C, please go ahead. You'll be followed by Sherry KB.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much. I'm so glad to be here today. I have been actually in Europe for the past 3 weeks, so it's really good to be back on the line. I love the whiskey and the milk story. It's great because, you know, when I first came into program, it was like everyday activities could just lead to such behavior that made no sense. I mean, I knew exactly what nutrition was. I knew I had been through so many different programs, like so many of the rest of us, right? Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and all that other kind of stuff. And I could do stuff for like a couple of weeks or maybe 2 months and then completely fall off the entire program and go back to crazy binging, purging, restricting behavior. So what I'm getting from this is like when, you know, when you have like a barbecue, right? and those coals are just red hot and all you need is like a little spark to light the whole thing and it'll just rage out of control, you know, just rage up. Well, if the coals are cool, you know, the bricks in there are cool, then it takes so much more than a spark, so much more than just a little spark to set it alight. And that's how I see this whole whiskey and the milk story. It's like what I've learned and how my life has changed is how I learned this from these 12 steps, how to keep these coals cool. So that when external things happen and life gets lifey, it doesn't cause the drama in my soul so soul deep. And it doesn't make me go into that sick behavior of self-hate, self-condemnation. It's my fault. It's such a victim. For me, it was a very victim-like thinking. And then it was all internal. And I never expressed any of this to anybody else because people would just think I'm crazy because on the outside, you know, the book cover looked pretty good. But God, my emotions would just go out of control and I would just self-flagellate, if you will, you know, mentally. And I couldn't tolerate it. I could not tolerate those emotions. And so give me anything that was legal to use and that's what I would use. And food is my most deepest and closest friend or, you know, whatever, dysfunctional behavior that allowed me to survive them. So when I'm faced with, and now that basically the coals are cool, now when I'm faced with pain, whether it's physical, which I have chronic pain now, or even more importantly, when it's emotional or some kind of demoralization and I have a pathway to take that is different than anything I've ever used in the past. I couldn't cope before. Now I know how to cope, and now I know I can recognize when I need to do that. And lovingly, gently, I've recovered from that knee-jerk reflex. And thank you. And that is all I've got for today. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Thank you very much, Mag C. Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Ruth G.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine. Always good to hear you on the line. And thank you, Team Wednesday, and welcome all to newcomers and all alike. I love this paragraph. I love the story about Jim. You know, there are approximately 19 I's in this one paragraph. And so what this reminds me of is Jim is in his disease. He's definitely in his disease, like I would be in my disease if I was in all the I's that I could do this and I could do that and I've got this and all that and I can do this. And what it reminds me of is where is God in all of this? And this is quite like what I call white-knuckle insanity. This is, you know, when I've been in my disease, you know, where have I justified my behavior in certain things? And this is all about justification. It's about the mental twist, the mental blank spot, getting together and ganging up on the intellect that it's going to be different this time. I had no intention of eating. Going into, you know, I love what has been shared on the line because it's all about this mental twist and the mental blank spot. It's a process here going through. And, you know, I just keep thinking, where's God in all this? And this is a buildup of human emotions. This is not doing a 10th step. When I work with people and we go through the steps and I give them a template to use for the 10th step and they do it for about 5 days and then we move on to the next thing and do 11th step and so forth. But in a 10th step, you know, it's when we're disturbed. We don't wait till we do a 10th step at night. It's when we're disturbed. And, you know, someone will say, well, I haven't been in resentment. And I'll say, well, you know, have you been irritated today? Have you been frustrated? Anything go on? Well, yeah. Well, that's a form of resentment. So it's like trying to check. I mean, I can't do it perfectly, but I just know that for me, God has to be in all of my thinking, and that also if I'm irritated, that's already a resentment lying in wait for me, getting frustrated. And somebody like me who's a true compulsive overeater, I've got to check my thinking all the time because it can go right down that rabbit hole so fast. Without a higher power and without these steps. And I'll pass this. There'll be more time for other people to share. Thanks, Elaine. I pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Sherry KB. Appreciate that. Ruth G., you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Thank you. This is Ruth G. You know, this is a whole emotional problem. And I know before OA, I'm in the program 46 years, and I'm always very proud of the fact. And I hope I don't let go, you know, just leave. But I'm an old lady, and I need this program very badly. But I remember before program, I remember one instant when I was so jealous that two people were going someplace, and they didn't ask me. And I remember looking out the window and then eating myself to death because I couldn't be friendly or say anything to them. I felt very bad that I wasn't asked to go with them. So it's a whole emotional problem. And when I have emotions, right now I have something that's bothering me terribly, and I have to, you know, call somebody and talk about it. And I don't like the big book, but I read it because, I mean, now I see that it's so popular. Because I love my step book, my 12 and 12 and everything. And I read this book, I read that book, Poor Today, Voices of Recovery. But I am so happy with this program. And thank you so much, Elaine, for sharing and leading. And I thank you, and I'm going to pass right now. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Ruth G. And Jordan L., you're followed up by Jean J. And if everybody takes 2 minutes, then there'll be time for Devorah S. as well. So, Jordan, please go ahead. You're up next.
Thanks, Elaine. My name is Jordan L. I am a recovered...
Jordan, we're not hearing you. Might you have accidentally pressed mute? Jordan?
Elaine, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I hear you. Thanks.
Okay, cool. My name is Jordan L., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. yet he got drunk again. I guess in reading that paragraph and knowing where I'm at in the book here, sort of in amongst step one and step two, and trying to get to the point where I understand the true nature of my problem, because I thought I had a weight problem when I got here. I truly thought that was it. I was about 100 pounds overweight, and I thought that if I lost all that weight, my life would change and I'd be okay from there on out, you know? And what happened to me was that. I lost all that weight and my life changed and I thought I was good from here on out. And then I got drunk again, just like Jim. I can't even tell you the exact meal or instance that I lost that abstinence, because this for me is a very subtle, very, very cunning disease that just sort of sneaks in there. And so with the point that I'm at here with trying to understand the true nature of my problem, that's a very important point, right? Like this is the time where I'm learning what it is that I'm up against, and it's going to give me the willingness that I'm going to need to not only proceed with the rest of these steps, but to try to practice this program, to try to connect, reconnect, deepen the connection with this higher power every single day for the rest of my life. So it's really important that I understand the true nature of my problem. And the true nature is that I'm going to get drunk again. No matter how much weight I lose, no matter how wonderful my life gets, I will get drunk again. I'm a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. And this paragraph really hits that home for me.
Gentle reminder.
And so once I understand the true nature of my problem, I get to move forward and practice the rest of these steps. So thanks for being on the line this morning, guys. That's it.
Okay, so we just have about 3 minutes left. So Jean L., you'll be our last share today, and I'm so sorry, Devorah and Wendy, that we didn't have time for you and anyone else who wanted to share. Jean J., please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Jean in Portland, Oregon. So I've done this dance for years ad nauseum. I can't even say I got to recovery and then did the dance. I did the dance right off and never got to recovery. So it's just been a very frustrating thing, and I'm glad to be talking to you today from a clear, abstinent, peaceful place at last. And to me, what's going on right here and what went on with me over and over and over again is that I forgot about the doctor's opinion and I forgot about the acceptance page, what 417 it is. And I forgot about Bill's story on page 13, the pause. So one, the idea is I must except that I am a junkie of the first order and that I cannot eat X, Y, and Z or eat in this manner. And for years, I wish I could and all that stuff. And as long as I was still there, I really wasn't in the acceptance on 417. And I really wasn't over in doctor's opinion saying, you know, that's the only thing we have to suggest here if you want to get out of the trap. And so I didn't fully embrace it. And hence, I got to do the tiresome dance. And so that's it. That's what it says here for me. And I'm glad to live in acceptance and understand who I am today. And to be here with other folks that are aspiring to the same gig as well. All right. Adios.
Thank you, Jean J. That does leave just about a minute for Devorah S. if you'd like to take it, Devorah. Let's start one to unmute.
Hi, it's Devorah. I'm sorry, I was away from my telephone. Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Eileen, and everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. I'm Devorah S., a recovered compulsive overeater, and wow, you see, all the years that I was eating, I never knew about the lies in my head and the justification and the rationalization. I just knew that, you know, food was going to make me feel better. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for the truth that I see here and that the honesty that I can live in today, that the food was the solution. And when something is happening in my today, I already had to do 10 steps today. But that's okay because I took care of it and I see where it was me getting the ball rolling. And you know what? I never, no matter how many years of recovery I might have, it doesn't matter. We're always going to have to be doing this. We're always going to have to be looking to see what my role is, what this irritation is about, because, you know, we're not God, and this is who we are, and it's okay. And I'm just so grateful to have this opportunity to be living this today and to not sitting on the couch and stuffing my face because everything was going wrong in my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Devorah. I was glad we could get you in today. And thank you, everybody who shared and listened and came and participated today. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kathy Jo P. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, then great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.